In the series on miracles, first we touched on the water into wine, where the story was about a party. And next we talked about a woman who was healed, who had been hemorrhaging for many, many years, and a daughter who was so sick that she passed away, but was brought back to life. This message is the last in a series on miracles performed by Jesus and what we can learn from them. Today's miracle, the healing of a man born blind, is certainly about blindness. I was at a gathering the other day. A friend of mine invited me to lunch, and there was a guest speaker there. And he was a representative from a pharmaceutical company which works over in Africa to end river blindness. He talked about how in each of the communities where river blindness pervades is where, of course, water is what they need, right? For life and for washing and for cooking and for everything. And so they go down to the river. And along the river, the black fly is there. And the black fly carries with it the river blindness, or actually the means to have the larva grow inside of you. And unfortunately, it passes through human blood. So if somebody is infected with the virus, then if a fly were to bite you and then bite someone else, then the disease spreads. Most often it hits those who are older in age, and that leaves the younger children of the community responsible for guiding them around the village. And they don't even get to go to school because their parents or their grandparents cannot see, and they cannot walk, and they cannot, you know, walk without stumbling, and they cannot work without guidance as to what they're doing. And so the whole community is affected by river blindness. It affects the skin, it affects the eyes, it changes a whole community. Back in 1974, there was a program that was started where people decided they wanted to end river blindness. There was a pharmaceutical company that was working on a, what's the right word for, vaccine, thank you very much, it's not in my notes. Anyway, vaccine that would help to kill the larva and to stop the spread of the river blindness. And so there became a program called OCP, which is onchocerciasis, very big word, control program, and thousands of farmers are now able to reclaim 25 million hectares of fertile river land, enough land to feed 17 million people, because river blindness has been eradicated in many areas. The one thing that happened was, when they were thinking about how to distribute the vaccine, many people said it should be free. This would mean, of course, that the pharmaceutical company would not only not make money, but would lose money. But the man who invented the virus decided that's how he wanted it to be. And so medicine is being handed out all over the world to eradicate river blindness for free. The reason that I got to meet this gentleman was he has a program where you can go over and help distribute the medicine. Because even though the medicine is free, sometimes to get to some of these remote villages is quite expensive of a journey, and it can be very dangerous. And, of course, you could be exposed to the black fly. So there's not a lot of people willing to travel out to these villages to distribute the medicine. And so you have to actually take the vaccine yourself if you go to build up immunity before and if ever you were bitten. And so he was recruiting some people to be volunteers. It was amazing as he showed us the pictures on the screen and told us the stories of what it's like to bring a miracle to a community that had been so disabled by blindness. I think it's a miracle to think about how somebody as talented as a pharmaceutical guy who could invent the vaccine would decide to give it away for free. Today's miracle, the healing of a man born blind, as I had already said, about blindness. But I want to tell you, it's not just the physical kind of blindness we're talking about, it's the spiritual kind. This is one of those miracles that is told in all four of the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they include stories of Jesus restoring the sight of a blind person. Two stories are in Matthew, two are in Mark, and one is in Luke, and of course one is in John. And it should not come to any as a surprise if you know John's gospel from the others, that of course he tells it a little differently, as always. In verse 1, it says they were walking along, and they saw a man who had been blind. And the disciples thought, ooh, teaching moment. Hey, Rabbi, teach us about this. So who's responsible for this man's blindness? Is it his parents or is it him? Right? They decide, ooh, big teaching moment, right? And of course, I ask you before we go on, what do you think happened? One of the pervasive themes throughout the Old Testament is that indeed people are responsible for their ailments. In other words, they did something wrong and they should therefore be punished. And they are punished and they live with this illness or this burden because they did something wrong, as Connie was talking about with the children, right? Do you believe that? I wonder what happened to this man. We know a lot more about it these days as to why people are born with ailments, but you wonder what happened to the man when he was a little baby so that he was blind since birth. Indeed, these disciples are curious as well and want to know, is he being punished? Or should his parents be punished? Since it is improbable that it was the baby who did something wrong, most likely they're looking to blame his parents. I ask you, why do people get into trouble? Have you ever had a young person in your family do something wrong? Maybe perhaps your child or your brother or your sister. Everybody kind of carries a little bit of responsibility around with them when someone young does something wrong, right? And there's been a book out for many years, which I absolutely love, called Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? Because not always, when something happens bad, did somebody do something bad to deserve the consequence, whether it be the parents or the child. And we do not say that people deserve horrible maladies as a consequence of mistakes. But we do spend a lot of time worrying. What can we do in life to prevent bad things from happening to us? Jesus goes on in the story to talk about how he's the light of the world. And when he had said this, that it was neither man nor his parents who had done something wrong. But he says something a little tricky. He says that the reason that the man is blind is so that good works from the Lord could be revealed through him. How does that sit well with you to know that this man was made blind from birth so that good works of the Lord could be made revealed through him? Jesus spat on the ground. I mean, that's kind of weird, as Connie talked about with the kids, right? I mean, you know, spit on the ground and rub the mud together and put it on his eyes, right? And can you imagine, it's kind of like he had these mud cakes. Like, have you ever made mud cakes when you were little? Mud cakes, like, on his eyes, right? And he can't see anyways. And then he's supposed to go to the pool of Siloam and wash it off. Now, you can imagine this man with these mud cakes, right? Walking along, trying to find the pool of Siloam to wash his eyes. I'm not making fun of it. It must have been funny. I mean, I'm sure as you watched him, right? Walk along with this stuff on his eyes. And the man does walk all the way to Siloam and washes his eyes, and it says he's made to see. Now, I can imagine what it would have been like to not have eyes for your entire life and being about 22 years old and finally opening them. First of all, it might be very, very bright right? I mean, you might want to even just close them again and say, wait a minute, I think I just like it like this. I know my way around. I don't want to have my eyes be opened, right? Because it would be so bright and so many colors and so many things you've never seen, like the eyes of your mother or the hands on your own body. You know, you've never seen them before. And you're even trying to figure out, oh, wait, that must be a chair, right? You know, you might even have to close your eyes and touch it again to figure out if that's really a chair because you've never seen one before. It would be pretty amazing, right? But it would also be pretty scary. Now, I want to tell you, this story is very interesting and curious because you'd think when this man came back that everybody would celebrate with him, right? Because he was blind and now he can see. Well, that isn't the truth. He comes back and all the people that used to walk by him said, hey, you, aren't you the one that used to sit here and beg? You know, is that you? I saw you. I used to recognize you. And then other people say, no, that's not him. It looks like him, but that's not him. You know, and they're all arguing about whether or not it's the same guy, right? And what does the guy keep saying? It's me. I'm me. I just can see now. You know, I'm the same guy. Yeah, I was sitting on there. You know, and then, of course, if you read on in the story, which I did not do for you in Scripture, but you can do so tonight when you go home, that he goes to the Pharisees even to be evaluated because they think something's weird about this guy who was blind and now can see. And the Pharisees look over him and they're like, ooh, who made you be able to see? And he tells the same story he's been telling to everybody, right? This man came along and spat in the ground and put this mud cakes on my face and I walked to the pool of Siloam and I washed my eyes and now I can see. It's the easy story, right? And the Pharisees are like, oh, wait a minute. Was this done on the Sabbath day? Well, yes, it was. Oh, really? Well, where is this man? I don't know, right? All I know is I can see. I know what your face looks like. I've never seen a face before, but I think that's your face. And I'm pretty excited, but I don't know, right? So here's my question for you. Who's blind in the story? Sure, there's a challenge to life if you can't physically see. It makes a world of difference for you. And you might wonder, why me? Right? As other people reflected upon this blind man in the story, was it my parents that did something wrong? And maybe they did. Maybe they drank or did drugs and you were born with consequence, right? Maybe your parents did do something wrong. And maybe not. And lots of people ask, why me? When something happens, right? But is the quality of your life really less because you physically can't see? I think what Jesus is trying to teach us in this story is not that the physical blindness is what really matters. It is much more important to him that we not be spiritually blind. Was this done on the Sabbath day? I'm going to close with a story which you probably know. It's about a man named John Newton. And even though we live in the 21st century and he was around a long, long time ago, almost 300 years ago, he wrote over 200 hymns that we know at least one really well. And John Newton grew up with a mother who was very strong in her faith. Very strong. She raised him to read the Bible and told him all about the promises of God and all the wonderful things that would happen to him and how Jesus and the Christian way of life is what he should focus on. But she died when he was only 7 years old. And his father was a sea captain, and so John joined his ship as a cabin boy at the age of 11, and he went out to sea. And I don't know if you ever hear stories about sailors, but apparently they have a lot of fun. And not always the good kind of fun. And so he drank a bit much and got rebellious and ended up in brawls. And eventually he got taken up by the Royal Navy at age 18 to teach him the right way of life. And he hated it. And one day he tried to escape from the Royal Navy and he got caught and he got put in cuffs. And then he, you know, basically ended up in a different place in life. And he got kicked out of the Royal Navy, of course. But C was in his blood, and so he got a job, the only job he could find at the time. You know about him? As a slave trader. Back in his day, if you were, you know, on these boats, they exchanged goods for people. It's abominable. And the living conditions of these ships were atrocious. But John Newton had a job. He got to trade all these people and had a lot of money. One night when his ship was crossing the Atlantic back to Liverpool with a cargo of cotton, tobacco, and rum and bananas, a very severe storm blew up. And John was at the wheel of the boat, lurching in all directions, the wind screaming in his ears, the rain lashing in his face. And for the first time in his whole entire life, John felt fear. He feared death by drowning in the ocean. But more than that, all of a sudden, his eyes were open. And he saw before him the life that he was living. And he was terrified that God would damn him to hell, excuse me for swearing, and he would spend the rest of his life in the most horrible existence. And he begged the Lord, please, please, if you are my mother's God, let me call upon you for forgiveness. And if you do, I will spend the rest of my life worshiping you. And sure enough, the seas calmed. And John Newton quit his job and he began to study the Bible. And after 9 years of studying the Bible, he became a priest. And when he was a priest, he became friends with William Wilberforce. You know this history yet? And William Wilberforce is one of the few people who argued against slavery. So John Newton, who had been blind, who had been lost, who had faced hell right in front of his eyes for the things that he had done, became forgiven. And helped abolish the very slave trade that he benefited from. I don't ask you this very often because I'm not a Baptist. But I wonder, Lord, if any of you out there need Jesus today. Perhaps you've done something in your life that was too bad that you can't even imagine the gifts of heaven. Perhaps you know somebody who you think the same about them. But as John Newton wrote those words, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I was blind, but now I see." The power and the presence of God is alive and well in this room and in the miracles that are possible in your life. I was blind, but now I see. For now and forevermore. Amen.